as I seek your guidance for the day, I find my thoughts unyielding, confusion crowds my way. But then when I bow to you, the challenges you guide me through. Your promises are ever new. I claim them for today. Your will cannot lead me where your grace will not keep me. Your hand will protect me. I rest in your care. Your eyes will watch over me. Your love will forgive me. And when I am faltering, I still will find you there. Design is charted by your hand and graciously revealed as I seek your master plan. Keep my footsteps faithful when from you I go. Return me to the joy that your blessings can bestow. Your will cannot lead me where your grace will not keep me. Your hand will protect me. I rest in your care. Your eyes will watch over me. Your love will forgive me. And when I am faltering, I still will find you there. Your eyes will watch over me. Your love will forgive me. And when I am faltering, I still will find you there.
Amen. It is good to be in God's house today. Certainly do appreciate this church, and thank you for the nice motel rooms and the welcome basket, and I appreciate that. It's kind of odd, you come back and you get ministering, and our ministry is in Ash Grove, Missouri. Now that's where home is, and you come back and it almost feels like a whole different lifetime that we were here, and then you see all the familiar faces and you see the familiar places, and you think, I think we just left here like last week. It feels like it's kind of odd, but it certainly is good to be back and preaching today. Good to see everyone. And I do take notes and listen to how people pray. And I heard the preaching hour is what I heard. Blessing the preaching hour. But then it came to my memory when I was talking with my wife and said, you know, I've got these couple messages in mind, and what do you think? And she said, just remember this, I've never heard you preach a bad, short sermon. Amen. Enough kidding around. Let's all take our Bibles this morning. Stand with me, if you will. Turn over to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 this morning. It's Pastor Merrick asked me to preach this morning and this evening, and said, preach as God gives you liberty, but with the thought in mind of rekindling the flame. I do certainly think of this, the flame has got to be kindled before it can be rekindled.
Right.
If your flame has never been kindled, there's no rekindling.
Right.
There's no reviving something that hasn't been vived to start with. I want us to look at that this morning in Luke chapter 17, verse 11 we'll begin in. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Let's pray this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for the morning that you've given to us. I thank you for the privilege, the opportunity, the freedom that you give to us in this great country to come and meet openly, to worship you. I thank you that you love us. God, I thank you that you desire to work in our hearts, sinful mankind, and you desire to work in us. Lord, I thank you for that. I do pray that you would be with this time now as we are gathered around your word, certainly here to hear from you, to have you speak to us is our desire. We know you're willing to speak and you want to speak. Lord, I pray that we would open our hearts to what you would have for us this morning. And we will be careful to give you the glory and you the honor, Lord, because you're worthy. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, we look at this passage this morning, and the title of the message, if you want to put a title to it, is "Where Are the 9?" Where are the 9? A simple question that is posed in this passage. When I think of rekindling the flame and how the flame needs to be rekindled from time to time, I do think of this. It all starts with our salvation. It starts with us being saved. And I think of the fact that if it wasn't for Him, if it wasn't for what He did for me, I would be without hope. It's not like this. Sometimes I think we get mixed around and we think, well, I could still have a pretty good life, or I could still make some good decisions, or I could live a moral life. This life is but a vapor, though. It is so short, and the older I get, the more real it becomes to me that life is short. It is so short. And to understand this, if it weren't for Him, I would have no hope. It is all about Him. It is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is about what He has done for me. And there'll be some points that we bring out this morning and that we'll look into, that it is all about Him. And I believe if our hearts are to be rekindled, it must be this. We must come to an understanding of this. It is all about Him. It is about Him. It is not all about my service. It is not all about my appearance. Is service important? Some of you know me, so I don't have to clarify this, but some of you that don't, my service is important. Yeah, right. My appearance is important. Right. But listen, I can serve and I can appear right, but I need to have that flame burning hot, my love for Him. Right. Because you know, if my flame is burning hot, that which He has done for me, and I'm in love with Him, it'll take care of a lot of those other things. It'll take care of those things. But if the flame is cold, I can still serve and I can still have the right appearance and I can still say the right things around the right people, but I can be cold in here. And you know what? That's what He sees. That's what He desires is what is on the inside. We're going to see that this morning. First of all, in verse 12, I want us to look at and see the condition of these men. We'll see their condition. It says this, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." The lepers lived a life that was pretty rough. I mean, if you look back, you can turn there if you want. I'm going to start reading when I get there. Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46 speaks of the lepers. Here, Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. Our Bible tells us this, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, 'Unclean, unclean!' All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." I think of this, the life of a leper was a miserable life. It was not a life that was just like they had a cold or they had a disease or even one of our disease of today. And you could think and say, boy, to live with cancer and that is a horrible thing. And I'm not making light of cancer or some other diseases that can grip and can change your life and alter your life. But listen, you're still around friends. You're still around family. You have others to minister to you. A leper is a whole different situation. I think of when I'm sick, and we like to say, boy, we're tough men. And that when I'm sick, I'm just like a big old baby. I mean, I'm sick, and I want my wife to take care of me. And I want chicken noodle soup, maybe without the noodles, but some chicken soup. And I want Werner's ginger ale. And I someone to take care of you and to comfort you. These lepers, though, they did not have that privilege. They did not have that opportunity. They were sick. They were without hope. They were thrown, as you read in Leviticus, what the Bible says, not what I'm making up. The Bible says this, they were without the camp. They were not there with their family to take care of them and to help them. They were isolated. They were miserable, sick, without their family being able to take care of them. In other words, they were restricted in what they could do. They could not just come back into town. They couldn't say, well, I haven't seen family and some friends in a long time. I think I'll just meander into town. I won't breathe on anybody. I won't touch anybody. I'll just come in. No, they couldn't do that. They were restricted in what they could do, where they could go. They had an unsure future. They didn't know how it was all going to turn out. They had no idea, well, how is this going to end? It could end in death. It could end in me being deformed. There's so many possibilities how this could end. And I'm not really sure if the disease is going to stop, when it's going to stop, when it's going to start taking, stop taking digits off my hand or my feet or my ears or whatever else. Leprosy was a horrible disease. It would eat away. It wasn't just like a bad skin rash or something like that. I mean, digits. It would eat fingers away. It would eat toes away. But eat your nose away, your ears away. It would deform you. Leprosy would do that. Leprosy, all through the Bible, it's a picture of sin. What sin will do to you, sin will leave you. Listen, sin will leave you without hope. The Bible talks about that in left to itself. The Bible tells us this, there's none righteous, no, not one, in Romans 3:10. We are all sinners. Whether you admit it or not, we're sinners. The Bible tells us that, tells us the wages of sin is death. We are in a spot, and to tell you the truth, there's in and of ourselves, there's nothing we can do about that. There's no way. Some would say, well, you need to work. You need to work and you need your good to outweigh your bad. But the problem with that is the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags to Him. I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in you giving me a bunch of your filthy rags. We think we can work our way, or today there is theology, there's doctrine that's built on obeying and doing this for your salvation. That's not found in the Bible. It's not there. The Bible tells us this, we are sinners. We are in a desperate place. We are separated from God. Just like those lepers are separated in a miserable condition. I want us to look in verse 13. "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" I want us to see this first of all. What led to their cry? I'll tell you what led to their cry. Their condition is what led to their cry. Their condition led to their cry. They were in a condition. They realized this. They realized this, that Jesus was their only hope. He was their only hope that they had. The Lord is the only cure is what they saw. They saw this. Boy, if we're going to be cured, all of our hope lies right there in that man, and that is it. That was their only hope. And I see this. I see what leads a man to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, would you please save me? I want to say you don't cry out without first understanding your condition. Hey, the doctrine, I hate to even call it a doctrine, but the foolishness of there needs to be no repentance. There needs to be no repentance for you to be saved. There needs to be no turning. You just need to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You just need to ask Him to save you. I say, well, we need to get to the Bible. We need to go see what the Bible has to say. I appreciate the Sunday school lesson this morning and Brother Alger teaching and talking about that. You don't just take what the preacher has to say and just take it and swallow it hook, line, and sinker. If it doesn't match up with the Bible, the Bible's right. These folks that would say this, boy, we want to see more people saved. I'm one of those people that would say, I want to see more people saved. But they say folks just they don't have the heart to admit they're a sinner and to really want to repent. And repent just simply means to turn. It's not overcomplicated. It's not a whole lot that needs to be worked up to repentance. My Bible doesn't teach me that. But they say, boy, there's not a lot willing to admit their condition and turn. You know, we could see more people saved if we could just skip that point over and just get them to pray and ask Jesus into their heart. They pat themselves on the back for all the conversions they have, but there's not a lot of disciples. We can't tinker with God's plan of salvation so that we can feel better about ourselves. We're fooling our own selves is what we're doing. That's not right at all. What leads you to cry out? What led these lepers to say, have mercy on us? It was this. They understood their condition. They understood that they had a condition that only He could take care of, that only He could fix. Until they came to that spot, you know, if they weren't in that position, they weren't ready to call out on Him, but they came to a realization of this sickness that I have. It's life-altering. It can be life-ending, and we need Him to cure us. They called out to Him. They cried out to Him because they realized their condition. We see their cleansing in verse 14. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So we see their cleansing. So we've seen their condition. Their condition led them to their cry. Them crying out led to them being cleansed. In a single moment, listen to this, in a single moment, He completely changed their entire life. It was all change. Imagine this, how you go from a moment of sitting there on the side of the road or sitting there within that colony of lepers and sitting there and, you're missing some toes and Joe next to you is missing his left ear and the guy over here, he's missing some of his fingers and is all disfigured in that. And in a moment, you're sitting there thinking, I don't know who's going to go first. I don't know who's going to die first. We're going to be separated here and I don't know how this is all going to end, but it's not going to be good. And boy, I haven't seen my family and we're sitting here outside the city gate and we have a life of misery. We have a life of dejection. We have a life of utter hopelessness in front of us. And I'm telling you what, Jesus shows up and in a moment it all changes. It's over in a moment. And I think of the lost sinner who is toiling within themselves of there's got to be more to this life than this. There's got to be more than money and there's got to be more than promotion and there's got to be more than all of this, all this other stuff that Hollywood and athletes tell us, go after this and you'll be happy. And then I look at their lives and say, how that can't be right. How can you be so happy when you're living the way you're living? When you have to participate in those kind of activities to find joy. That just can't be right. And I think, oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, that sinner that is saying, boy, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be something bigger than this. And they realize their condition. Boy, when you cry out to God, the Bible tells us this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He doesn't do a background check on you before you can get it. Listen, He's a loving God who always says yes to a repentant sinner. He always says yes. I don't know if He'd take me. Yes, He will. Bible says that He'll in no wise cast out those that come to Him. He's not going to do that. So the lepers here, they see Him, their life is changed in a moment. I think about this. This doesn't mean that they weren't going to have any other trials in their life. Right. Didn't mean that their life was going to be a bed of roses and that they were going to have a life of ease now. No, it meant this. Their most serious condition had been taken care of. Well, when you get saved, understand this. It doesn't mean you're on a four-lane paved interstate for the rest of your life and you're never going to hit a bump. It means this. Your biggest problem has been taken care of. Your soul's eternal destiny has been forever secured. You can't ever lose it. What part of eternal is not eternal? What part of everlasting is not everlasting? In a single moment, He completely changed their entire life. He cleanses them completely. He cleanses them immediately. I say this, what amazing grace and mercy that the very Son of God would look upon them, would hear them, and cleanse them. And then I think of me. I had nothing to bring to the transaction but a life of sin. And I grew up in church. Listen, salvation is not a transaction in which you meet Christ halfway and you've got some good things to offer, but He's got something better. Christ was doing fine before He ever met these lepers. You know, this nonsense of, boy, God sent Christ because he was missing out on fellowship with man. Listen, God wasn't missing out on anything. Well, he saved us because He was missing out on the fellowship He could have with His creation. God's never missed out on anything. Like somehow we needed to complete Him. That's not right. The only thing I had to bring to this transaction was this. I brought my sin and He gave me His Son. Man, what an exchange. Only a fool walks away from that. You leave your sin with me, and I'm going to apply the blood of my precious Son on your behalf to your account. Whew. I'm telling you what a deal, Brother Tony. What a deal. Christ didn't need these lepers. These lepers needed Him. Undeserving lepers. Now cleansed, we need not miss this either. They were cleansed by faith. They had to obey to be cleansed. Look at what He told them. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. So there's a command given. Christ gives us a command in salvation. Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. Tells us this, unless you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And He tells us this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In other words, He provided the way, but He tells us this, it's not enough for you to believe there's a God. Well, I believe in God. We got a problem because the Bible tells us the devils believe and tremble. Believing there's a God does not seal your soul in heaven. All I say is this, congratulations, you are now on equal ground with the devil. You believe, so does he. So do the demons. The devils believe. Bible says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right. Takes a realization, I'm a lost sinner. I've got nothing to offer Him. He's not getting a bargain when He gets me. He's getting a sinner is what He's getting. Saved by His grace. We must do what He says, though. Look what He tells them. Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. He commanded them to go. It came to pass that as they went, there's obedience, they were cleansed. In other words, He makes a promise and says, if you'll do this, you'll be cleansed. Go to the priest and you'll be cleansed. And they obeyed by faith, said, we're going to go by faith. And they took off by faith and they're getting ready to head to the priest. And it says they were healed. We see the fulfillment of the promise when they give their obedience.
when they do what he says they will do. Lost person does not get saved by being convicted. Well, I was in a church service and I just felt really bad. That's only the first part of salvation, is feeling really bad. Did you call upon the Lord? Did you call out to Him and say, will you please take me? Will you please forgive me? Will you please save me? I want to see the callousness, though, of the man. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. The callousness is this: one turned back. Having received such blessing, only one offered up thanksgiving to He who cleansed him. There was only one. One out of ten. One out of ten turned back to thank Him. How callous, I think, of this. How ungrateful. How selfish of the nine. But I want us to see this. One was very cognizant of what happened. There was one who was very cognizant of what had happened. There was one who appreciated and realized what had been done. Verse 15 and 16. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He saw what was done and he turned back. Number one, he recognized what had happened and who had done it. He recognized the fact, hey, we're on our way. And all of a sudden, hey, we're healed. Hey, we are better. We have done what he said. And he recognized this. But notice this, he didn't just recognize it and keep going on his way. He recognized it, and his recognition led him to respond. He responded here. He turned back and with a loud voice, he glorified God. I want to say this, he was abundantly thankful. With a loud voice, he glorified God. I think of that as Christians, and I want to dwell on this point just a little bit here on rekindling the flame. I know it's a long ways away from Thanksgiving, but I want to say this. It'll do our hearts well to go back and be so thankful for what God has done for us. I realize in this auditorium this morning, as I look around, and the majority, I'm sure, are saved and say, boy, I've been saved by the blood of the crucified one. I've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. I've come to a point I can go back to a day when that happened and say, boy, I can mark the day down when I called upon the Lord and asked Him to save me. I think of that, but so often we're saved and we're excited about the fact that we are saved and we can serve and we can come to church and we can get wrapped up in a lot of different things. But it is important that we understand this, that we tell Him how thankful we are for what He has done for us. It's one thing to say this, well, He knows how thankful I am in my heart. Yeah, the other nine could have said that exact same thing. Why do I need to turn around and take time out of my schedule and take time? I've got friends and family I haven't seen in a long time, and I cannot wait to go see them. He knows in my heart how thankful I am. Baloney. A heart of thanksgiving, it needs to spill out of our lips. Thank you, Lord. Folks, we ought to never get over our salvation. We'll never get over that. When we get over our salvation, we get cold. We cool off. You say, I'm not cold. I mean, I'm here on Sunday morning. I'll be here tonight. I'll be here. We cool off. I'm telling you, God's been so good to me. If all He did was save me, that's way more than I deserve.
That's right. That's right.
If that is it, if that's all He did was save me, I got the way good end of the deal, if that's all He did. He did so much more than that for me, though. I mean, He saved me, took care of my biggest problem, my soul's eternal destination. But after that, I look around, and I was telling my wife, I feel like God has backed up a front loader and has dumped blessings on top of me. Then He brought a back loader and a side loader and even any other kind of a loader, and He just keeps dumping them. I look around and think, the people that God has brought into my life, God's done that.
That's right.
And I look back and I think of friends. I think about times here, and I think about folks that have moved on and they're not here. They're somewhere else in church this morning, that God allowed our paths to cross, and they sharpened me. And I come back here and I see friends. And I think, you know, God allowed a lot of good people into my life.
When's the last time I just spent some time saying, God, thank you? You didn't have to do that. You brought brother so-and-so into my life. Oh, people are just part of the blessings God has given. When you really start thinking about how good God has been, you know what kind of crosses my heart? He's been awful good, and I haven't adequately thanked Him for what He's done. We look at this story in the Bible, and we kind of look at disdain on the nine, do we not? Think how pathetic of them. I always like that in the Bible. You can look at the children of Israel and say, you people just can't figure it out, can you? And then I remember, God's put that there for me, because sometimes I'm sure He's wondering the same thing. Son, how many times we got to go back? And you need to do what's right in your own eyes and need to smack you upside the head because I'm a loving Heavenly Father who's going to correct you. Then you figure it out and you come back and then you mess that up again. And I read this, and so I read through this and think, yeah, those nine, I mean, oh, man, they didn't get it. And God says, how much of your prayer time is spent thanking me for what I've done for you? Or how much of it is request or complaints? I'm telling you what, I think the flame would burn a little brighter when we went back and started thanking Him for all He's done in our life. Well, He knows how thankful I am. I think I've already covered that. He wants to hear it. The one turns back and with a loud voice. I'm telling you, he was abundantly thankful. He didn't just say, thank you, Lord. Between me and you, I'm pretty excited about what you just did. Don't want to get too loud. Those other nine will think I'm getting carried away. Thank you, Lord! Just woke a few up. He said it with a loud voice. You know why I said it with a loud voice? Because that's how loud it was in his heart. He was ate up with it. Thank you. I can't believe what you've just done for me. You didn't need to do this for me, and you did it anyway, and I just got to come back, and oh, I'm not crawling up and getting in a higher place than you and worship. I'm worshiping you by falling flat on my face as he did before him. Think of Peter when he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Well, we don't show up to God to worship Him and how great we are. When we show up to worship Him, it's with this spirit and with this mentality. He's awful big and I'm awful small. And He still did that for me. His posture, He fell down on His face and at His feet. It's a position of humility and adoration, showing and voicing His thankfulness. Listen, he was a Samaritan. Don't have time to get into all that, but he was an undeserving outcast. Didn't hold a place of prestige. Yet Christ healed him. Why? This is overwhelming in his heart. Why would he be so good to me? I'm a Samaritan and a leper. I'm a two-time loser. That's what society would say. And yet Christ still showed His abundant grace and mercy to him. The others got caught up with their blessings and they failed to thank the cause of their blessings. Christ was concerned with that. Verse 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I want to say this, Christ was concerned. Well, he's concerned, why are you the only thankful one? There's an important thing for us to take from this. Christ sees and knows those who are thankful. Right, right. Christ sees that and says, there's one who is thankful. Please get this. He understands who is really thankful. Those nine that could say, oh, we're going to get busy and it's exciting. And one of them, I don't know, they were heading down the road. And if you're missing your toes on your left foot, you're going to walk a little funny. You're not going to be able to go very fast. And hey, they're moving down the road and another guy might have been shouting. And they say, there's no use shouting. He's missing an ear. He's not going to hear you too well. But they said, in spite of all this stuff that has happened to us, we still got places to go, and no, boy, we're cleansed now. We can get back in the city. We need to go see the priest, and we can get back in there. And we have so much to do. We've got a lot of things to catch up on. We've got so much going on. They were caught up with the fact that they had been blessed. They had been healed where they were heading back, but yet one said this, I'm not so caught up in my blessings. I'm caught up in the blessor. I'm caught up in the one who has done all. Those that would say this, I would work with folks and they would make this comment and say, well, you worship God in church. I worship God in the goose blind. And I'd say, baloney. Do I enjoy hunting? I don't have a hanky or I'd wave it. Amen. Do I enjoy fishing? Amen. Not on Sunday and not on Wednesday night, I don't. Well, I worship God in nature. Really, when's the last time that you were convicted in your tree stand on Sunday morning? What's conviction? Thank you very much. You just proved my point. They get caught up worshiping the creation instead of the creator. Boy, these nine were caught up with the fact that we got a whole new life in front of us now. We've been cleansed. We're not outcast anymore. They got busy going about what they wanted to do. Christ sees that, but it's more than that. We're going to close right here. Don't get too anxious. We got a little bit more to say in closing. Christ blesses those who are thankful. Verse 19. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. I don't know. I get in and I believe in preaching the Bible. The Bible means what it says and it says what it means. I look at this and some were cleansed, but one was made whole. You say, well, can you go back and prove this? I can't emphatically prove it, but wording means something in the Bible. There were some that were cleansed. Did they have leprosy anymore? No, they did not. But as I said before, Joe kind of walked kind of funny because he didn't have any toes on his foot. He didn't have leprosy anymore. I don't know. There was probably a Jim Bob in there somewhere. He was hollering for him to slow down. He was hollering because whatever the guy's name I just said that didn't have the toes, he couldn't keep up with them, so he was shouting for him to slow down. Other guy that was with him said, it's not going to do any good. He's missing his ears up there. He's got two good feet, but he doesn't have any ears. He can't hear really what you're saying. He's way out ahead of you. Another guy was trying to pat him on the back, and he just had stumps. His fingers had fallen off. Were they healed from the leprosy? Were they cleansed? Oh, yes, they were. I don't know. I believe this. That one man, though, was made whole. Listen, I don't believe it would be too hard for God to grow an ear back.
That's right.
I don't believe it'd be too hard for him for a couple big toes to come back on and some fingers. There's one guy who not only did he get cleansed, he got made whole.
Amen.
Can you imagine it in town the next day? And they show up and they go, whoa! Got your nose back, Steve. You're not missing toes anymore. What's happened to you? Man, we don't have our leprosy anymore, but are you the guy that I spent those years with outside the city? Boy, your skin looks like normal, like you've never had it before, and you got your fingers back. And he says, yeah, I turned around, you'd never believe this. I hobbled back to the Savior, and I said, thank you, Lord! And he said, where are the other nine? There were ten. Where are the nine? Just as Samaritan came back, and the Lord said, your faith hath made thee whole. Get on down the road. You wouldn't believe it. I was back to normal. God blesses God blesses the person with a thankful spirit. But I want us to notice this as well. He knows our motivation. I'm going to tithe and I'm going to be faithful to church so that God is good to me. You've got it all backwards. God's already good to you. And that's why you ought to be faithful to God's house, and that's why you ought to tithe. Because His Word says to do that. When we can fool others, we can never fool Him. That leper didn't come back and say this, "Well, I'm glad the leprosy has stopped. I could use fingers, toes, and ears, and a nose back. If I go back, He blesses thankfulness. So if I'll go tell Him, thank you, it'll all come back." That is not how it worked. The thankfulness in his heart resulted in the blessing. In other words, he wasn't hunting the blessing and saying what he needed to say. He just came back and said, "I'm so thankful. Thank you. Me, a dirty Samaritan, a dirty leper, and you just healed. I've got a whole new life set in front of me." And Christ said, "Oh, it's going to be better than that. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Get up and go into the city." Listen, folks, we've got so much to thank Him for. We've got so much to thank Him for. That God saved me. I don't get that. I know me like you don't know me. I'm not saying that in a good way. I'm an undeserving outcast. And when I asked Him to save me, He said yes. Woo! In Psalm, let's read a couple verses in closing this morning. Look at Psalm 68. Psalm 68. That's music to a preacher's ears. The turning of pages of Scripture. Sound like it's raining. Let me just have you start turning and turning and turning. We may turn to more than three or four Scriptures. Did hear that one preacher said, "I don't think there's anything wrong with having your Bible on your iPad or your iPhone instead of bringing your Bible to church." Oh, okay. I don't know. I've never looked in with great anticipation to Grandma passing her iPhone down to me. Grandma's Bible, on the other hand, I'll take that. You say, "I've got my iPhone out here." That's okay. Maybe they'll come up with an app that will sound like pages turning. I'm still not going to change my tune, though. I just gave some app guy on the web an idea. I'll be looking for some royalties from that if that happens. Psalm 68, verse 19. "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Hey, listen, He wasn't just good to you when He saved you. He backs up the big truck of blessings every day. You say, "How's that?" Because the Bible says, He daily loadeth us with benefits. Got up in the hotel and went down in the lobby early this morning. Ate some old people breakfast. Oatmeal and a banana. Amen. Some of you are looking at me. I said old people and I was eating it too, all right? And a cup of coffee. And walked outside and was like, 40 whatever degrees is awesome. Unless you're a woman. Then it's about 70 degrees too cold for you. I was like, "This is wonderful. Man, beautiful morning." Had my cup of coffee and half a banana and went walking down the road. What a beautiful day. And I was going over the message in my mind. I thought, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me senses to feel this temperature. Thank you for giving me the eyesight to see all this going on." I love spring. have a thank the Lord to say, boy, I like seeing the dogwoods and I like seeing the flowers blooming. Sometimes we get so caught up in the creation, we don't take a step back and say, Lord, thank you for letting me see it. God didn't make all this pretty stuff for Him. He made it for us so we could see it and glorify Him. Do you follow me? He loaded me with benefits this morning. He loads you with benefits. Whether or not you acknowledge Him doesn't change the fact that He's loaded you with benefits. Gave me ears to hear the birds chirping. I mean, He's loaded. He loaded me. He didn't just let me hear the plan of salvation one time before I got saved. I've heard some say, why should anybody hear it twice before the whole world has heard it once? I'm glad that's not God's opinion. Because I needed to hear it a lot more than once before I got it. And that's because He let it happen that way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, you didn't give me one chance and shut it off. God, thank you that even though I just kept doing the good church people kind of things and was lost, that you didn't just leave me go my own way. You kept dealing with me. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for my family, Lord. Thank you for my church. Thank you for, I mean, Psalm 67, since you're right there. Psalm 67 in verse 3 says this, let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Hey, it's not just for some, it's for all of us. Two more verses. Hebrews. Go back to your New Testament. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Bible tells us this. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. I promise you we could go on and on. 1 Peter 2:9. Here's reason for praise. Boy, I think of this and I think of our passage here. You can almost write Luke 17 down in your margin. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I want to say this. Folks, if you're here this morning and you're saved, we've got a lot to be thankful for. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. There's no great truth I've just unearthed. I found this in my life a lot, though. It's not the new truth that I need. It's the reminder of the old. Well, we're looking for revival. If we could just hear the new. No, we find revival when we obey the old, not when we hear the new. Well, yes, God has been so good to me. How much time have we spent thanking Him for all of those good things? For how He has daily loaded us with benefits. Your flame will burn a little brighter when you spend time in recognition for what He's done in your life. Boy, you'll appreciate Him so much more. What He did on the cross won't just be something a long time ago. But it'll be afresh and anew how He took your place. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, boy, what are you waiting for? Have you realized your condition? These lepers, when they realized their condition, it led to them crying out. Boy, how foolish would it have been of them to say, There's one who can take care of everything. We're lepers without hope, but you know, it's not really that bad. I think we'll just let this play out and see how it all turns out in the end. Only a fool says that.
Right.
Recognizing your condition ought to lead you to cry out to Him for salvation. Why not get that taken care of this morning? And the invitation is given. All you need to do is come down front. Pastor Merrick will put you with somebody who knows what they're doing, showing you out of God's Word. Privately. This is how I can be saved. This is how I can get my sinful condition. The most important thing I've got in my life forever taken care of today.
Right.
To the saved, maybe you just want to come and thank Him for how good He's been. Let's pray this morning.